Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts, uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. And today we have an exciting guest with us. It's Katrin Günther. She is Vice President of the Business Unit Digital Solutions at the Ullmann Pack Systems. And she will talk about how to start, launch, and scale a platform as a machine builder company. Hello, Katrin.
Yeah, hello together. And thanks for the invitation. Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you.
Yes, and also I'm very happy to have my lovely co-host, Natalie.
Yes, hello. Hi, Katrin.
I'm not forgetting you, Natalie. Yeah, hello, Katrin.
I know.
Nice to have you in our podcast. And please give our listeners the chance to learn more about you, who you are, and what was your journey, how you joined Ullmann. And just give a little bit of context to our listeners.
Yeah. For sure. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I'm from a personal point of view, I'm 36 years old, live in the south of Bavaria, and especially Ullmann is in the south of Germany or Baden-Württemberg. So my background in general is in the IT sector and automation sector. And so I had several stations in the industry, and I joined Ullmann, meanwhile, 6.5 years ago, and started there with, let's say, some kind of sales activities. Ullmann at that time had already a track and trace business where we sold some software, and I was hired to push the sales activities. And then we had a very, future-oriented CEO. And at that time, he already asked, what does that mean, that point of digitalization, and how does that maybe impact our business as a machine builder? And finally, I get the, let's say, the big task to define a digitalization strategy for the company Ullmann. And so the journey started, and meanwhile ended up in an own business unit. We are around about 180 people developing software products to connect and to digitalize of pharmaceutical production. And yeah, that's the current challenge to bring up the pharma industry to the next level.
Thanks, Katrin. So you're diving in straight away in the platform. And just to give slightly some context, the platform is called PackSide.
Yes.
And the idea was to build a sustainable packaging platform. So can you give us, a little bit of a context, but can you give us maybe the first steps you took? Because now it's quite a big, it's not really a startup, right? It's quite a big, it's at minimum a scale up, quite a big organization already. Can you take us through the first steps, maybe the initiation of that project?
Yeah. So maybe I start a little bit in the past, and I think that's more than 10 years ago. So the PackSide platform was not just built on the green field. So Ullmann already had a good foundation in doing software business, established, I think, more than 10 years ago. We had the first projects for track and trace solutions, because there was a track and trace regulation implemented for the pharmaceutical industry. And at that time, Ullmann decided that we don't just want to deliver the machine parts, but also see some value for the software part. So that was quite, I would say, an ambitious target, but also a future-oriented decision, because I think that's the foundation for Packsight and the business which we have today. And out of that first project, we developed software, mainly for the track and trace part, but over the years, then had also projects to connect different lines from different suppliers, realized projects where just the software was delivered and not the machine was coming out of our business. And as we started to think about what does digitalization means for us, we did a broad approach and asking more than 60 customers, which we had, what are their plans about digitalization, what is their strategy, and what do they expect from Ullmann especially. And one of the things which was immediately figured out was that our pharmaceutical customers don't want to have a solution, a digital solution from Ullmann and a digital solution for the net from another machine supplier, because packaging is just one part of the manufacturing process. And I said, we don't want to have from each machine builder an individual solution, but at the end, we just want to have one platform. And this was the wish. And everybody connects to that platform means on the other side, we are just the deliverer of data, if you make it in a clear sentence. But they said also, the cutest thing would be if the machine builders going together and maybe develop a platform together, or maybe one of them is capable to do. And we then decided and discussed heavily internally, what does that mean for us? Either the one side that we just the deliverer of the data, and on the other side, maybe if we could be the one who is delivering such a platform. And that was more or less the idea. And then we started together with some other machine suppliers to discuss the idea of a platform, which was developed together. And we presented that in 2018 on a big trade show as a, let's say, a use case. And we got such a big feedback, a positive feedback, that this is really what they would like to have. Yeah, and then the idea started to grow. How can we execute that? How can we use the existing business to level that up? And also, we had some discussion about strategic directions and ended up meanwhile with Packsight as a platform which we scale.
It sounds very logic to distribute, let's say, the challenge to create this platform. So when you talk about data, what exactly do you mean with data? What kind of data you share? What kind of data you exchange? So is it the information about the packaging, or what is the data you mean?
I mean, in generally, so from a machine point of view, so you are connecting the machine data to the platform at the end to optimize the production process, to improve the OEE, to see failures, see optimized microstops, giving operators some more guidance and help. And for all of that, you need to know and need to understand how the equipment is working. So you need the data from the equipment, but also process and product relevant information. So from a machine builder point of view, you firsthand talk always about the data which is coming out of the machine. Of course, if you look on the complete process, you have the product data and the process data, but this is mostly in the hands, but also in the responsibility of our pharmaceutical companies, because at the end, they need to be compliant and need to ensure that the product at the end, which is medicine, which we all consume, which is safe, because at the end, no pharmaceutical customer is doing just digitalization per its own. At the end, it needs to impact the safety of the product. And these are just a few aspects on data on which we work.
So you tackle the challenge together with other companies, so as an alliance. But you also mentioned maybe this is not, this turned not out that well. So can you also talk a little bit about that? So why, of course you mentioned why you started as an alliance, but why also the alliance not worked out that well?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite logical to say that you need to bundle your forces and not being just one supplier. In our case, we are delivering packaging machines and just in between other suppliers in the process. So either you are big enough to challenge this on your own, or you need to bundle forces. And that was the first decision that we said we are part of an alliance already. And we all face those challenges to deliver digital solutions to our customers. Why not joining together and developing solutions together? And we did this, and basis was then also that what we showed on the trade show. But after that, it comes then to a discussion about how to bring that in real life. And in our case, we were 5 family-owned machine building companies. Most of them are quite familiar in building machines, but not in building software. And as you can imagine, this is quite the opposite, building software than building machines, and needs a completely different mindset and awareness how products are developed, how they're sold, how it's really a market approach, because we are selling to completely different contact persons also on customer side. And also the way how we develop software is quite different, how we develop a machine also from a time point of view. And what we immediately saw is that at that point, I would say cultures collide. This was especially, I think, the kind of digital maturity of the companies which should work together was quite different. And this is then, if it comes to decisions, because you're not building a platform with just a few euros or dollars, it's quite a big investment you need to do. So it was immediately the discussion about how risk affine we are and what we would like to go for together. Do we see a fast, quick return, or is that a long-time approach? And especially also from a strategic point of view, all the different companies had to, I think, internally discuss if software is really a future business part of ours, or do we still see our core DNA within building machines? And therefore, we had long discussions. And as you for sure know, the digital world is going a little bit faster than maybe the machine building industry. And at a certain point, we decided, okay, those discussions will not really come to a quick end. So we need to start somewhere and maybe discuss later on or continue that discussion later on. And therefore, at the end, 2 partners started to develop PackSight. I mean, the main partner was Ullmann, because we had the manpower already on board. And meanwhile, we are collaborating with other partners outside that initial alliance as well. So we are made, from my point of view, the right decision to go on and see what's coming up during the journey.
This was also then easily understood by the other alliance partners to say, okay, yes, okay, you're maybe too slow or whatever, or sharing the risk or sharing the rewards is not fully aligned. So yes, we are agreeing, please go ahead alone, and we are fine with that. Or was this also a kind of a challenge to convince them to step out and do now take the idea and realize the idea by yourself?
I think finally, if I look to that time, I think it was a bit of both. I think the one or the other partner was fine to take the decision. The other one was quite unsure if that decision is right to step out, or maybe I should either invest. And so it was always that ongoing decisions and discussions, but nobody was really taking a decision. And that was finally then starting. The first one took the decision not to participate, and we were one less. And then finally, we had the discussion, okay, Ullmann has already a business, which was not just a small one. And we said, okay, at least for our business, if you just think about Ullmann, it was the right decision to move on. And finally, we are now in discussion with those partners again. So that's quite interesting to see.
It's interesting because it really shows there's not one methodology that fits all, because sometimes it's completely the other way around, where companies just manage to work together and move forward together, and here you've tried it and it didn't work, and yet you succeeded by yourself. So it's that there's really several ways of approaching this. I find it's interesting to see this.
Yeah.
And
So maybe just, I think there are two aspects which we learned out of that. I think the one thing which is maybe also important for other discussions is so to think about in the beginning of discussions with partners about their digital maturity. So is that equal to yours? And is that really, do we really have the same understanding of what we would like to do and how that industry really works? And the other aspect is really to have the courage to invest and the courage to go, even if there is a risk, and especially family-owned businesses, they do everything to avoid risk because that's now there's a family behind most very stable businesses. And to do that step and to go and invest in such a risky business and not knowing if this really pays out at the end, this is also learning for me. Just take the step and really then correct on the way if you see it's not going in that really strong direction, but there are always coming up on the way new ideas and opportunities.
And like you said, the mindset is very different also. I expect when you build equipment and it's more, you can more plan and have a like your roadmap, whereas here you have to pivot and try things out and maybe you know, get rid of some stuff that don't work. And of course, you know, it's financial risk. In terms of functionalities or I mean, I guess the platform evolved from when you created it and what it does now. Can you give us a view of what it did back then and what it does now? How did you add some services or elements or how do you, and how did you grow the ecosystem around it also? I guess it's linked.
Yeah, I think so. One of the discussions, when I just come from an internal point of view from Uman, at that time we had also the challenge that we had quite a big installed base out of the track and trace business. And over the years, there is at a certain point the decision from a kind of technology aspect. So do we need to renew the technology in the back because some components are no longer supported? Security is a big issue. So we had or we were standing in front of the decision, what is the next technology step for the single solutions which we had from the installed base? And of course, we had from the past a certain amount of, I would say, island solutions, which were project-based developments. Not every the single base was comparable to the other one. So we finally had to make a technology decision. So, and everything comes together so that we said, okay, we have to bring that single solutions together and build a strong foundation in form of a technology platform so that we are able to scale the solutions on a single side, but also to bring in new solutions, which are most probably not developed from Uman, so developed from partners. And therefore, this was not possible to do this with the old platform, and also security issues were some kind of point which was relevant for us. And therefore, we decided to build a kind of core platform with central services and then also transmitted, let's say, the old solutions which we have to that platform. And really made it service oriented and made it really then flexible and scalable. So it doesn't matter if it's happening or if the service is running on the machine or is running in a cloud. And on the other side, we made it as flexible as possible so that we can also integrate partner solutions. And step by step, we now see on the one hand side that we are upgrading our installed base. And with upgrading the installed base, we are bringing on add-on applications, but also now integrating partner applications. And it started just by one or two discussions which we had with startups, how we can work together. And meanwhile, we really decided to use PEXite, let's say, as a partner platform. So especially certain startups can bring in their solutions and integrate them. But also we are talking about partners which have services around the platform. So not have only a central software application, but also maybe is a kind of offering and training. And therefore, step by step, we are talking about what is an ecosystem? What does partnership means? How do we see our market recognition on that part? And how do we talk to our customers? Do we just talk as a PEXite or /Uman? Or do we talk openly with that partner brands? How do we promote them? And that is now the level which we are entering, to think about the rules, how to build up such an ecosystem, how to work with partners that they are not just suppliers, but really partners on the same level. And yeah, that's the kind of phase where we are at the moment. So upgrading the install base, integrating partners and building up an ecosystem.
There was a lot of there were a lot of points in your answer right now. So going back to the first part, you talked about solving the chicken egg problem. So you started with the installed base of Uhlmann. So this will gave you a kind of a head start because there were some installations and you could leverage them. And then you started to grow. Can you give us some numbers? So how many installations are there? How big is the ecosystem at the moment? Just to give our listeners also a kind of an understanding.
Yeah, so I mean, in the general, we do have an installed base, which is more, I can't really release the total numbers, but we do have more than 1,000 installations in field. And this is really then our also upgrade potential. And also we see those with big customers, which are quite probably brands, which you know in the public. And then we are at the moment in the first draft of the ecosystem, we are ongoing with 10 partners, but this is just the foundation where we started a few months ago. And really now in this discussion, which kind of partners make sense for us and which one we would like to add more to that ecosystem.
So you're also talking about partners, but PEXite is still owned by Uhlmann. So it's, or is it an own legal entity, or are there any plans right now with the partners and to grow further to move the PEXite solution and platform out of Uhlmann and put it into an own legal entity?
Yes, that's one part of the discussion. So you are quite heavily invited to have those discussions with my management because yes, we are at that point at the moment, because with around about 200 people, you are a small or mid-sized software company at the moment, but we still belong to Uhlmann 100%. But really have a little bit the challenge that the brand of Uhlmann is always associated or linked with packaging and machine. And those which don't know us don't associate that there is really a software solution which is vendor independent in the back. So that's one of our challenges. And the other one is that software business is a different mindset and work approach than building a machine. And those are two, let's say, cultures which collide within internal Uhlmann. And therefore, we are discussing how we maybe can really bring that to a more legal aspect in the future, but also thinking about what does that mean, doing this together with maybe some partners.
Yes, so I can hear that it is probably quite a debate internally about this topic. But as Matthias always says, my favorite topic is trust. And I was wondering if you feel that the fact that it's not yet a different entity to Uhlmann, that PEXite is not yet or not a different entity to Uhlmann, could that cause some trust problems with your customers or partners?
I would not say it's a kind of trust problem. The situation that the brand of Uhlmann is more related to packaging and building a machine than not really related to building a software, beside the customers which know us and where we have an installed base. So they know us already. So we more have the challenge to, if someone is looking for a solution and is not knowing that Uhlmann is developing a software, he would most probably not looking at the website of Uhlmann if there is a solution. So that's quite challenging to get recognized for those customers which don't know us. And on the other side, I think that's also a kind of transformation aspect that the decision makers for those platforms or applications on customer sites are different partners than we are used to as an Uhlmann. So we are not contacting anymore the packaging expert or the production responsible person or the purchasing responsible person for the equipment. So we are talking to the digital departments on customer side, or we're talking to software experts or IT departments. And our normal sales force is not used to speak to those contact person or either know them. So that's quite challenging. And I think that's the same for the partners. If I think our market recognition is known as a machine builder. So using the name, or that's the, one of the reasons why the branding of PackSight is also different from the Uhlmann branding, so that we are building up an own brand, which differentiates ourselves a bit from the Uhlmann brand, and that also gains then at the end trust for partners that we are not just a machine builder.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we work closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation. Coming again back to the alliance part, and you mentioned that the digital maturity of some of those partners were not right or ready enough. What exactly do you mean with digital maturity, or what kind of aspect, which also implies that if you would restart the whole thing, you maybe would better know what kind of partner you were looking for, what kind of criteria they need to check. And so maybe also for our listeners, so if they thinking about forming an alliance to start a platform, which absolutely makes sense, it's not a false approach, but it's what kind of prerequisite from all the partners should be there to make it a success?
Yeah, a very good question. And we had the discussion after that as a lesson learned. I think for me personally, the most important part is that each company, which is maybe a partner of such an alliance, has really a clear point of decision or strategy focus. What do I want to see, or how do I see myself in the future? And do I really have a digitalization strategy in place? And for me, one of the key questions, if I come back to being a machine builder today, is my vision that I am a machine builder in the future, or is my vision, as an example, to build up software really as a maybe parallel business system, or as a maybe unique also approach? And if you don't have the discussion or the awareness or finally the decision on and the understanding what we would like to be in 10 years or in 5 years, that's really a heavy discussion, because then you don't get the decisions for the investments and the strategic approach and so on. And the other aspect is the involvement of relevant decision makers. And in our case, of course, we are family-owned businesses, so you need to involve the families or the ones which own the companies, but also really have the management involved to really take that decisions. And therefore, we see a lot of, let's say, fear. What does digitalization really causes in my industry? Does it impact my today business? Is it heavy or not? Really that is a discussion which is not a technical discussion at the end. So from that point of, that's for me the key to have awareness and clarity about that that point.
Okay, this clarifies a lot. And again, coming also back to your point about rolling out and rolling out the platform and driving adoption. So you mentioned your Uhlmann sales force is not the right sales force for a digital product. This is also what we learned when we analyzed over 400 B2B platforms in Europe, how they approach acquisition of users and so on. And what we also learned is that that there's always a mixture. So you can do digital sales, so like online marketing and things, so try to convince, but you also have to bring in kind of value adding services like standard services, a little bit of consulting, running workshops and so on. Is this also the case for Packside? So that in a B2B environment, it's not only about online marketing, online sales, it's also you have to create this kind of hybrid approach because you need to onboard the people, and onboarding B2B customers, B2B users requires kind of workshops, kind of consulting, kind of other services.
Yes, I 100% agree to that. I think what most, let's say, equipment developers and suppliers try is using the existing sales force and give them a bit education and hope that they will sell the software like they sell the machine. And after some years of trial and error, then recognizing that this will not work out in total. But as you say, is that it's of course selling also the machine with an add-on service is one important part. The other important part, and that's what we are doing, we need some kind of sales people which are familiar with selling IT equipment and software and talking to those people on the other side. And that's the IT guy, that's the software guy, and they have a complete different language than the other ones. So you need also that approach. And the third aspect, as you mentioned also, is really to fill up the sales funnel and doing it on one hand side with LinkedIn marketing and also that online marketing, but also really software is not just a one-shot selling approach. It's always combined with doing workshops, selling consulting, doing some concepts. So it's never coming alone and someone is just clicking on a buy button and then you just have the software. That's really something which is really intensive because it's also technically very complex at the end.
And you also have the dimension of bringing startups and new applications onto the platform. So that also requires different skills and both technical business developmental sales skills, right?
Yes, and from that point of view, the technical approach is not the complex topic. So it's always the speed, is because those startups, they just meet you and tomorrow we can start and have a workshop. So, and we are part of a 2000 employee company. We have to search for a meeting in 4 or 6 weeks. And that's the kind of speed which is then really colliding and really also educates us to getting faster and also to respond very quick to that colleagues.
Yeah, speed and processes, I expect also, and things.
Yes.
Maybe taking Packside out of Uhlmann would also partially solve some of those issues.
That is part of the discussion which we have.
You spoke also about the future and opening up the platform. So yeah, now really creating a broader ecosystem around Packside. And you also mentioned startups. So what is your plan of opening up also the producer side of this platform? So not just having users of the services, exchanging data, but also opening up the producer side of the platform.
Yes.
How do you want to approach this?
Yeah, so from the one hand side, of course, Uhlmann is bringing in some applications, but from a time point of view, but also from a capacity point of view, this is not the only answer. So we are really opening up for partner solutions. So we are really talking and analyzing the market, what kind of nice solutions, especially for the regulated environment, are already there. There are a lot of quite nice startups which have good solutions, and therefore we are discussing if how we can enter the market together, how they can profit from our installed base, but also how we can profit, as an example, from the solution. And then also we are talking from, let's say, a kind of equipment side to partners, because the production process of the pharmaceutical production is quite long. There are a lot of players in it, and we are already in, let's say, kind of product development with some of them. So to building up or developing applications together, but also integrating our solutions on their equipment. So those kind of partners we are looking for. And the third aspect is that we are looking for partners out of that, let's kind of service and value apps area. So that means consulting companies, consulting experts, but also training is a big aspect in pharma, and how we can use this as an add-on service to the applications on a physical side.
Yeah, it really comes back to what you were saying earlier about building the ecosystem, right? It was initially a software. It is still a software platform, but now you started with a product or orchestrating transactions, data transactions, and now you're orchestrating, or you're going towards orchestrating an ecosystem.
Right. Yeah, we are starting to do that and learning on the way. I think the term of ecosystem is really used very often and frequently at the moment. And we need to be aware what really is an ecosystem. And that's what I mentioned before. Some have an understanding that an ecosystem is just having suppliers and handle them. For us, it's a kind of journey to what does that mean really to work on the same level and really open up, share information, which we, as an example, don't will share at any time with suppliers, but sharing that information with partners, because at the end, we just want the best for our customers. And that's, from my point of view, the value for our customers. And at the end, it's the value for us as patients and users of a pharmaceutical product. This should be the guiding star, let's say, in that words.
This is also our understanding of an ecosystem. It starts with the customers or the users, and an ecosystem is there to, let's say, to combine multiple services into a single experience or a single environment where they have a great experience. So it always starts with what is the user, or who is the user, their needs, and how can you create a better experience than before by combining multiple services over your platform. Another aspect I would like to focus on, or Natalie, you want to go into something?
I just wanted to add this. It's actually a hugely important point, what you just both said. The ecosystem is what is making the customer journey, the different entities or stakeholders that are around the customer journey, and not, as you said, Catherine, from the company perspective, from your perspective, what is my ecosystems? Who are my vendors? Who are who am I distributing through, etc.? That's not what the ecosystem is. So I find that point actually hugely important. So sorry, I thought I would point it out.
No. I don't want to interrupt. But another quite interesting part is talking about people. So you mentioned you are kind of a business unit at the moment, a digital business unit. You are the VP of this business unit, Digital Solutions, but you're also a very traditional company. And so I think a huge challenge at the moment is really the war for talent for a lot of those traditional companies. So how have you approach this challenge to attract very good talent and convince them to join your digital solution and being part of your, let's say, the traditional company and not go to, I don't know, Berlin and start their own career in an own startup, something like that?
I'm still looking for the holy solution for that, to be honest. I mean, I think that what you described is exactly what we are facing. I mean, we are not in an hotspot city, so we are quite on a rough landscape area. Of course, around our location in Laupheim, which is close to Ulm, there are some universities, but also a lot of other brands and companies which are hiring hiring those talents at the moment. So it is already a war of talents. And this means for us internally a big change in how we recruit people, how we attract those people. It means also a different understanding that you are not joining Uhlmann once and then get retired after 50 years. Also, we need to be aware that maybe some talents join us just for 2 or 3 years and then going to the next adventure. And that acceptance that this is maybe in today's times quite normal. And this is a mindset change. So within Uhlmann, we are quite, I always say we are kind of aliens because we look different. We are quite international. So we have more than 20 nationalities within our business unit compared to the Swabian culture on the other side. That's quite a confronting situation, you can imagine maybe. And therefore, we are not only looking in the area of Ulm for talents, but this is also something which we do more on a more national way, but also on an international way, because in times of Corona, we now meanwhile get quite used that we work from doesn't matter where it's possible. And that's quite a journey, especially for HR.
And how do you do this with remote? So there's also the pandemic, COVID-19, a lot has changed. People work from home. People are now more keen to a remote environment. So you can also hire developers and other ones from around the world, work together with them in a remote environment. Does it also, is it also something you consider at the moment, or you say no, we want to have the people on site because we want to it's better for team feeling or I don't know, but or do you also consider going remote?
I would say meanwhile I would say luckily we had the first Corona issue within Uhlmann was in within the digital business unit, so from one second to the other we had to decide to bring all the people on homework. In February last end of February last, not the first year, we were immediately in the remote work approach. And honestly speaking, more or less, we are within that situation since 2 years now. So it has not really changed. Of course, during the summertime, we were happy that we had to come back to the office at certain points. But meanwhile, the teams and also the people are quite familiar to work in such, with such remote situations. And honestly speaking, this makes it quite easier to, as you mentioned, hire people from around the world. And this is definitely something which makes us more attractive as a company, that we are able to do this and we are not planning to change this, honestly speaking.
When you would do a kind of a recap and kind of a kind of a summary of what you have achieved over the last years, would you say it wasn't really the challenge of building a platform business? It was more the challenge of creating a digital business and transforming. So how would you phrase what was the real challenge behind? Was it really let the people think about platforms, multi-sided business? It's a different kind of business model, or is it more like the whole digital world, the digital, digital thinking? Or how would you say what was the biggest challenge for women to approach this?
Good question. And as you said, building a platform was, from my point of view, the easiest part because it's a technical approach. And of course, you have to think how to realize it and what's the architecture behind. But this is, let's say, a kind of doing. I think the more really challenging part was to build up an awareness and sense that the world is changing also for a machine building company, and that you need to decide which kind of role do we want to play in the future. And especially if we are in competition with Asian companies, feeling a kind of price pressure and so on, you need to be aware what is the impact for more today's business. And due to the fact that Uhlmann had already in the past a software part and an installed base, which most of them, I think you mentioned that before, not have, it's quite, I would say, a luxury situation to start a discussion because there is a proper business here. But the understanding and the mindset of that company was not really there, that we have something which is really valuable already available. And to really bringing that mindset into that direction, and also the ability and the willingness to invest and going really in that direction. And we are still in the process, to be honest, to push that forward, because each year I have the discussion about the investments of development investments, R&D investments, and those. I have each year the discussion from the beginning again. And this is at the end mindset, risk, ability, but also future orientation. And this is a kind of transformation which is challenging, but also one of the most amazing jobs I can imagine.
What we also learn is starting this journey once for a company is a big challenge, but to be really true, they need to start multiple of those journeys. So they need to create a portfolio of those kind of ventures to be really, really successful, because it can also happen that the journey you take with one venture can also be kind of not negative, but not playing out as planned. So you need to stop, you need to cancel it, or you need to put it on hold or whatever. So you need multiple of those ventures, a kind of a portfolio to really ensure your approaching the ecosystem in the right way and building future business and future growth. But this is, again, another big challenge, I think, also for the traditional companies.
Absolutely. And there are lots of trends which we see beside the digital aspect, which are impacting us. I think the most one of the biggest issues at the moment is the area of sustainability. And this is also, if you are packaging a good, you always handle foil as an example. And in terms of sustainability, this is the next big disruptor, because you just not can change from foil to paper, as an example, just to pack a good different. And that's really something which is also disrupting again to our industry. And I totally agree to what you have said. You need to start also to disrupt all of those aspects and bringing your business and company forward into that direction.
Maybe you can also explain it a bit more. We call it net positive platforms. So we say, okay, in the future, each business needs to, or each platform needs to turn into a net positive platform. So kind of thing which has a positive impact also to the society, to the planet, and not just for profit. How do you see, could PackSight also turn into this kind of net positive platform?
Never heard that term before, honestly speaking, but quite a good question. I think that's a good question to bring back also to the people to my team to think about that. I mean, what we are faced already is to think in applications in terms of environmental friendly applications, which help to reduce the energy. But these are more at that time more related to the business, but have an impact on the environment. But at the end, PackSight itself helps to produce safe medicine. And at the end, also with track and trace, we help that medicine is globally available in an original state. So we are helping that there is no falsified medicine in the pipeline or getting to the people. And on a broader way, you can also see that as a social impact from a positive way, because we help that those copied medicine is identified and not getting and impacting any people's health.
I find this journey, I mean, I really see everything you've described as a journey and a succession of learnings and pivots. I think Matthias will probably want to ask lots more questions, but as the timekeeper of today, I have to say that now we've got to conclude. And I think in conclusion, and I will leave you the last word, Catherine, but I think this is really what I'm taking out of this discussion, is this journey that started 10 years ago and that actually a lot of people, when they want to build a platform, they think about building a technical platform. But many times you said this was not a technical stake. We asked ourselves where we wanted to be in 10 years. And that was 10 years ago. Now you're asking yourself again where you want to be in 10 years. And things have changed, obviously. You see things differently. yet you're in a very conservative industry with a family office business, which is probably a bit more conservative also. But I find that a very healthy way of looking at things. And it really transpires throughout the journey. Also, when you talk, you're talking about evolving from a data platform towards building an ecosystem. Again, this is not a technical view. When you're talking about the ecosystem, and we mentioned it, the ecosystem being seen from the customer point of view, again, this is not necessarily the easiest way of thinking and approaching things, or the most historically natural way of approaching things. So I think, and to conclude, you were talking also about talents and how it was complicated to find talents, but how you're trying to adapt your mindset to it. I think the whole journey to me is really about this mindset that you've tried to nurture and adapt and at the same time not impose your own mindset of Ullman to the world, but trying to understand what's happening around you and learning from that. Did I understand properly, Catherine? I see you nodding, but of course we've only got the voice.
Yes. So, I was really impressed listening to how you summarized it, and I totally agree with what you have said. Parallel to what you have said, I just had the feeling in my body. Of course, it's not an easy journey. It's a tough journey also for me personally, because you have lots of ups and downs, and sometimes you see yourself in front of some issues crashing or not. But at the end, it's a journey, and it's also a learning curve, a big, big learning curve. And everything you said, it's, I totally agree too.
Yeah, we always conclude and close our session with a question to you. What would be maybe one or two recommendations to other leaders? So you as a leader, you have gone through all the learnings, and so what would be one or two you would like to give to other leaders, maybe some mistakes to avoid or some other things they should do? Is there anything you would like to recommend?
Yeah, there is one big thing I'm still confronted with when I talk to others, is that the topic of digitalization is often just analyzed and worked on from a technical point of view. That's what also Natalie said before. They start from a technical point and applications and do some MVPs, which is quite good, but this is just one little aspect on this, and it will never be successful if you don't look at it from a management perspective. And the other learning which I had over the couple of years is you need to start and continue the discussion from the top of the company. If there is no awareness, if there is no commitment, if there is no decision, it will never get successful. And don't be afraid to do that discussion. It will be a hard and tough discussion, but I think it's worth to do, because if we look to the future and look out to the markets, and it doesn't matter which kind of industry, it's dramatically changing. And also it's the task of a business to identify what is our role in that changing environment. And therefore you need the stakeholders from the top involved. And that are the two recommendations I would like to give.
Very good. If you meet someone, we will recommend him to meet you and to talk to you, because you went through a lot of learnings. And as we heard throughout our episode, you can share a lot of lessons learned. So thank you also from our side being part of the session and this episode and sharing all those insights. And yeah, we wish you all the best for PEXite and Ullman Group and all the journey. And maybe in 1 or 2 years, we can have another conversation about your journey and what other success stories you can then tell our listeners.
Yeah, maybe, thank you very much.
Maybe in 10 years again, Catherine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
earlier.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.